All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Vardaya Krishna Prasadam Vade Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasukha Dele Gauravani Pracharane Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Pasta Charisha Charane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, chapter 51, verse 57. We actually missed one verse, so I'll just read that verse, 56. Then. Translation, therefore, O Lord, having put aside all objects of material desire, which are bound to the modes of passion, ignorance, and goodness, I am approaching you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for shelter. You are not covered by mundane designations. Rather, you are the Supreme Absolute Truth, full in pure knowledge, and transcendental to the material modes. Report the word nirgunam here indicates that the Lord's existence is beyond the qualities of material nature. One might argue that the Lord's body is made of material nature, but here the word advayam refutes that argument. There is no duality in Lord Krishna's existence. His eternal spiritual body is Krishna, and Krishna is God. And we did read that, actually. Anyway, Chiram hi rijin arta stapyamano nupatayar. Avitrisha sad amitro labda shanti katanchit. śāradāsmupetastvatpadābjaṁ parātmam. Abhayam ritam ashokam pahi mahapanam isha. For a long time, Iha, in this world, original disturbances, artha, distress, tapyamana, tormented, anutapai, with remorse, vitrishna, unsatiated, shat, six, amitra, whose enemies, alabdha, not attaining, shanti, peace, kritam chit, by some means, sharana, of shelter, da, O bestower, samupeta, who have approached, tvat, your padabjam, the lotus feet, paratman, O Supreme Soul. Abhayam, fearless, paratam, truth, asokam, free from fear. Pahi, please protect, ma, me, apannam, who am confronted with dangers. Isha, O Lord. Translation: for so long I've been pained by troubles in this world, I've been burning with lamentation. My six senses are never satiated, and I can find no peace. Therefore, O giver of shelter, O Supreme Soul, please protect me. O Lord, in the midst of danger, I have, by good fortune, approached your lotus feet, which are the truth, and which thus make one fearless and free of sorrow. Text 58, the Supreme Lord said, O Emperor, great ruler, your mind is pure and potent. Though I enticed you with benedictions, your mind was not overcome by material desires. Understand that I enticed you with benedictions just to prove that you would not be deceived. The intelligence of my unalloyed devotees is never diverted by material blessings. The minds of non-devotees who engage in such practices as pranayama are not fully cleansed of material desires. Thus, O King, material desires are again seen to arise in their minds. Wander this earth at will with your mind fixed on me. May you always possess such unfailing devotion for me. Because you follow the principles of a kshatriya, you killed living beings while hunting and performing other duties. You must vanquish the sins thus incurred by carefully executing penances while remaining surrendered to me. O King, in your very next life, you will become an excellent brahmana, the greatest well-wisher of all creatures, and certainly come to me alone. Purport, Sri Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Sukhrudam Sarva Bhutan Nam Gyatva Mam Shantam Ruchati. A person attains peace by understanding me to be the well-wishing friend of all living beings. Lord Krishna and his pure devotees work together to rescue the fallen souls from the ocean of illusion. This is the real purport of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. I send the prayer parts of the humble services of Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the 10th canto, 51st chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Deliverance of Mokshakunda. So, Mokshakunda here finishes his praise of the Lord. The Lord originally asked him, you please take some benediction from me. And then Mokshakunda began to recite these prayers, and instead of asking for benedictions, he indicated his miserable position in the material world and how the Lord should save him. And then he simply took shelter of the Lord's feet. So, in other words, in the last prayer, he puts himself in the humble position of being suffering and afflicted by the six senses, and then he indicates that the Lord is the only shelter from such problems in the material world. And therefore, he says, I approach you. You're the solution to everything. Become free from sorrow and fearless, fear, etc. Even here, he seems to be praying for deliverance from suffering in the material world. And then we can say, well, then it's mixed bhakti, because people who approach the Lord to get rid of their suffering, they're not considered to have the anyabhilashita shunya, or free from other desires. However, as I mentioned previously, Mokshakunda was identifying himself with a fallen person of this material world, suffering, etc. And therefore he can speak in this way. Additionally, of course, the natural tendency of the devotee is to surrender. Surrender is one of the angas of 64 angas of bhakti. And of course it becomes very prominent in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. Jiva Goswami also says that this is the first anga of bhakti, because without some surrender, not complete surrender, but at least some surrender, we cannot perform the other angas of bhakti, like hearing and chanting, remembering. We have to have some sort of surrender to the Lord. So, as a component of that surrender, we also think of the Lord as our only shelter and protector. Therefore, it is natural for even advanced devotees to think of the Lord as protector, as he says here, Sharanada, the giver of shelter to everyone. So, shelter obviously means he protects one from all problems, etc. So, therefore, to express such an idea of wanting shelter of the Supreme Lord is also intrinsic to the process of bhakti itself. So the bhakti becomes mixed or contaminated with material desire when we constantly ask the Lord for some material benedictions, or we want freedom from material suffering, and this becomes a constant request to the Supreme Lord. So this obviously here is not a constant request that I'm surrendering to you because I'm simply suffering and I want relief from my suffering. He doesn't really care about the suffering of the material world, but he expresses the idea that the Lord is the shelter from all problems that may happen, and therefore he surrenders to him. So therefore we cannot say that Mokshakunda has mixed or contaminated bhakti. The Lord has been very merciful to him and has appeared before him. But then he says, definitely you should have unfailing devotion to me. I'm very pleased with this pure devotion that you have. Whereas, and he talks about the people, even the yogis, they try to cleanse the desires from their mind, but then again they develop desires. But one who has seen the Lord, then he has no desire for anything in this material world. He wants only the Supreme Lord. So that is the case also of Mokshakunda. He's seen the Lord, so why would he want anything else? But then the Lord also says that, well, you have to stay in another world for another birth, and then you can come to me. You become a brahmana, and in this lifetime you execute austerities to get free from the sins of killing people, living entities, etc. So one should not take this too seriously, because we also know that just simply through the process of bhakti one is freed from all types of sins, etc. But for setting an example for others, sometimes the Lord makes a devotee do certain things. So in this case, he says, you do this. And this idea of doing penance for being a kshatriya and committing violence against other living entities, there should be some sort of compensation for that in the form of austerities, etc. So therefore, this will set an example for other people. But other than that, there is no real reason for the Lord to delay the liberation of Mochakunda from the material world. However, we also see that in other cases as well, sometimes there is some delay. So, for instance, Dhruva saw the Lord, but then he had to rule the kingdom for thousands and thousands of years. Then he went to Dhruvaloka. But he had to stay on earth and rule the kingdom for many, many years also. And we see the case of Narada Muni. He saw the Lord, but then the Lord said, I'm not going to appear to you again in this lifetime. Only when you give up your body, then you'll attain perfection. So sometimes the Lord makes certain arrangements for certain devotees, even after they've seen him. And they may continue their existence within this material world. So Lord has arrangements for everyone. And we should never question those arrangements. Here we see very advanced devotees. The Lord is making some arrangements. And Mushukunda does not complain, why are you making me stay in this world again and do penances like a normal person, whatever, like this. He doesn't complain. So the Lord makes arrangements for these devotees on that high level after they've seen the Lord. But the Lord also makes arrangements for people who are not at that level, and we should not complain of that also. So sometimes there appears to be something that looks like karmas, but these may also be arrangements of the Supreme Lord for certain purposes. We see the case of the Pandavas. They underwent suffering in 13 years. They were hiding in the forest and whatever like this, hiding this place and that place. One may say, why do they have to suffer like this? That's the arrangement of the Lord. Even for these devotees who are nitya siddhas, he makes some certain arrangements by which they appear to suffer or whatever. So the Lord is definitely in charge of all of the devotees and looking after their welfare. And his arrangements are different for every single devotee. And therefore, we have to have faith in the Supreme Lord that his arrangements are proper. So that is also explained in the Bhagavatam, that the correct attitude of the devotee should be that whatever happens in the material world, the devotee does not criticize the Lord and say, why are you doing this to me? Rather, he accepts it as some plan of the Lord. And he also accepts it as my karma. I've created this situation because of my past karma. And therefore, I should rightly suffer for it. And he doesn't blame the Lord for it. And at the same time, he continues very seriously to perform his bhakti. And then this way of acting in the material world becomes the way in which he gains the mercy of the Lord. The Lord becomes very, very merciful to such a person who tolerates all the problems in the material world and continues to seriously serve him in spite of all the obstacles, etc. So the Lord becomes very, very affectionate towards that devotee. And in fact, there are descriptions of how the Lord sees the devotee, and he understands, of course, all of the different obstacles he's undergoing on the process of performing his service to the Lord. It may be for many, many births. But the Lord at any point in time understands all of that because he is Supreme Lord and he knows everything. So as a result of all of that, the Lord becomes very, very affectionate towards that devotee. How much this devotee has sacrificed and given up, and he simply persevered in trying to serve me life after life. So this melts the heart of the Lord, and he's very eager to appear before such a devotee. So this is how the devotee gains the mercy of the Supreme Lord, by continuing the process of bhakti in spite of all obstacles. Of course, on the highest level, in prema, the definition of prema is that it never decreases in spite of all the obstacles. Thus, of course, in the material world, there may be obstacles. And in the spiritual world, also, there may be obstacles. Of course, these are obstacles created by Krishna for pastimes or whatever, such as the gopis being separated from Krishna by their parents or whatever like that, or being criticized by people or whatever. So these obstacles, they tolerate all these obstacles. And in spite of these obstacles, their love does not decrease at all. It rather increases. So that's the definition of prema itself. So, of course, obviously, if one is in the spiritual world of the prema, that there's never any deviation from that. In the material world, of course, we're not at that level. We're not fixed. So we're liable to waver or be unsteady when we meet certain circumstances in life, difficult circumstances. So at least we should come to the position of nishtha. So nishtha means the position that at least we don't have prema, but we're steady enough that in spite of the obstacles that come, we don't get disturbed in our performance of bhakti. We continue our service in spite of those obstacles or whatever may happen. So therefore, it is very advisable for devotees to come to that stage of nishtha. Before that, the stages are called anishtata, which means unsteady. So when obstacles of various sorts come, then there may be interruption to the process of bhakti. Obstacles, of course, may be in the way of simply being attracted to maya and enjoying in the material world. So one will, instead of serving Krishna, will want to enjoy in the material world. Or there may be obstacles in the form of various difficult circumstances that one has to suffer. And then in that process, one may lose faith and give up the worship of the Lord, service to the Lord. So that is anishtha stage. So we're advised to come to the stage of nishtha, where we steadily perform our bhakti in spite of all the obstacles, etc. And then this allows us to quickly progress upwards through ruchi and asakti and then bhava and prema. So that should be our first aspiration, at least when we begin devotional service, to come to the nishtha level. So how do we do that? So there are several things. Obviously, one is the performance of bhakti itself. It's called anartana vritti. So gradually the obstacles decrease through the process of bhakti itself. So as much as possible, we try to do the process of bhakti, even though we may be unsteady. And the more we do, then the less the obstacles are. At the same time, because we're doing that bhakti, we may not be doing it properly. So this may be a problem, and therefore the anarthas don't go away so easily. So therefore, we need the association of advice and counseling of devotees to help us perform the bhakti properly. So the association of devotees is also important to get from the anishtata to the nishtha stage. And then another factor is knowledge. Of course, this also comes from devotees. We get, through sadhu sangha, we get knowledge of scriptures. So, in the Nectar Devotion, the Rupa Goswami describes there are three stages of faith. And the first is called Komala Shraddha, which means very weak faith, very tender faith. And if the person may become disturbed very easily, it may stop his bhakti. So that's not very good. And then he traces the reason to lack of knowledge of Scripture. He doesn't know anything. So people will come and argue with him, and then he'll get disturbed, and then he'll figure maybe bhakti is not the right process, and he'll leave. So lack of knowledge. He's called the Kanishta. Then we have one person a little higher than that situation, a little more steady. He's called the Madhyama. So he has a little knowledge. Doesn't have great knowledge, but he has enough knowledge that he doesn't get too disturbed by the situation. So it's a better position. So people can argue with him or whatever. He may meet difficult situations, but still he continues his devotion. So he has more knowledge. And then we come to the Uttama. He has deep knowledge. And also very logically, he has understood everything as well. So his faith never wavers at all. He can also convince other people, influence other people to become devotees, or if they are already devotees, to become steady in their devotion. So he has a deep knowledge of Scripture, and therefore very, very, very profound steadiness. So in other words, the steadiness of the faith depends upon the extent of knowledge. So that's another way in which we can progress upwards to nishta stage. Therefore, that is why we do have all the Scriptures, and very fortunately they're available to us. Srila Prabhupada made great effort to translate and comment on so many Scriptures. So why he made that effort? So that we can get the knowledge, so we can develop steadiness in our devotion. And in this way, we can become successful.
Well, we see that Kunti was praying, please give me obstacles so that I can get your association always. In our case, we don't pray the Lord, still we get obstacles. So obstacles can be because of the karma. The Lord only favors those devotees who likes them. Like he says, I remove from those devotees who are already attached to me. Yes, yaham managrahami. So how to understand that?
Well, of course, devotees like Kunti are already perfect. So their longing for obstacles is merely actually an expression of their longing to remember the Lord. If they can remember the Lord without the obstacles, then they wouldn't ask for obstacles also. And they would just say, may I remember you. So that's another way of, as we see here, Mushakunda is praying that he always wants to, you know, remember the Lord and be devoted to him. He doesn't necessarily, he's not praying for, give me more obstacles so that I'll remember you more. So that's a rather unique position of a very fixed devotee. Out of eagerness, they in their remembrance of the Lord, they may pray like that. So in the material world, it is obvious that because we do have a material body, no matter how much advanced we are, even if we're in prema, there are going to be obstacles. So we don't have to pray for them. Obstacles are there automatically because of the material body. And of course, the Lord also keeps a pattern of karma there even for a person in prema. So therefore, it may appear that the devotee in prema also undergoes suffering. So there's a pattern that looks like karma there, even for the most advanced devotees. But actually, our acharyas explain, it's not real karma. It's simply a pattern that the Lord preserves. But actually, that devotee's under the Supreme Lord only. He's not under the force of karma at that point. The Lord is taking care of those devotees.
Well, in the beginning of the class, you were saying that there's mixed bhakti. Even Dhruva Maharaj also had some mixed bhakti. And we see in the case of Gajendra, actually, he tried his best to relieve himself from this crocodile, but he could not. Mm-hmm. Later, he surrendered, mm-hmm. And he asked protection from the Lord. So, can we not say that even if someone follows the mixed bhakti, still Lord come and help him?
Oh, yeah. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, four types of people approach me. So the Lord accepts all of these people, and he responds to them. And the Bhagavatam, of course, says, akama, sava, kama, wo, whether you have all desires or no desire, you worship me. So yes, the Lord accepts. But Then the Lord says, out of those four people, that one who is completely attached to me, he is the best. So, obviously, there's degrees of how much the Lord responds to each type. To those that want material things, the Lord may give material things. Huh? But, of course, that's not the ultimate goal, but he may do that for those persons. The Lord responds, but he responds differently to different devotees. So if we have pure bhakti, the ultimate benediction is that we end up with prema. If we have mixed bhakti, and we continue in mixed bhakti, the ultimate goal would be a weak form of shantarasa, maybe, if that's all. So there is a difference in the result for different types of bhakti that we do.
In the case of Gajendra Rishi, at the end only, he offered lotus to the Lord because he said he thought that he's helpless now, I cannot do anything. And immediately the Lord came.
Yeah.
So, doesn't mean that, at the end he fully surrendered, means he was following pure bhakti at the end, that just the Lord came.
Well, his main motivation was to get rid of the suffering. So, and it must have happened not too long period before the Lord came. So, therefore, it's hard to say whether he got purified and then the Lord came or not. But simply the Lord heard his cry and his prayer, then he came. So he, in other words, he responds even to those who have mixed bhakti. He may not appear in person before most people who have mixed bhakti, but at least he responds in some way. So that is also there. He may get very good results even for those persons. And of course, other persons, they don't even pray, and the Lord responds to them like Prahlad. He was in danger, and the Lord saved him from the danger, and he didn't pray at all. So it's not that we have to pray for the Lord to respond also. But it's up to the Lord which way he wants to respond to the devotee. So some devotees, he won't appear. They're asking for material benedictions. He gives them material benedictions, but he does not appear also. So it depends on the individual case.
Another case, like, here in the verse, it is said that Krishna said to Mosukunda that, you have to come again in this material and you'll be a good Brahmana. So can you say that, this Krishna is making arrangement for Mosukunda to come in the material to set to set some example in the material world, and as well as, Krishna also needs some devotees who can make others devotees?
Well, that's another reason that they could actually help other persons. But here, he doesn't tell him to preach or anything. Mainly he's interested in setting a nice example for everybody. Of course, when he becomes a Brahmana, then he could preach or do something like that.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you mentioned that faith develops through knowledge or by studying scriptures. So is there any other way through which faith can be developed?
Knowledge?
Faith.
Faith. Of course, there's two types of faith. One is the faith in scripture, and the other would be the faith in the Supreme Lord. So, in Vaidhi Bhakti particularly, there's a great dependence on scripture. So, therefore, this division of Kanishtha, Madhyama, and Uttama is given within Vaidhi Bhakti, and it's an emphasis upon the scripture and how it influences. But faith itself automatically will increase with the increase of bhakti. So if we go from Anartanirvrija Nishtaruchya Sakti, it's obvious that the faith is getting deeper and deeper in that whole process. So with the intensity of bhakti, automatically the faith also increases. The initial faith can only come, or in most cases will come, through Ajnata Sukriti. And that's the initial faith.
Normally, when someone takes up the devotional service, we see in the beginning, they get obstacle, but once advance, it seems sometimes he gets more obstacle.
More
obstacle. It seems like that, because he's facing so many obstacles from his family side, even from the devotional service. It's, but before that, in the beginning, just coming to temple, okay, a little bit. So, does it mean that his Lord is testing him by giving many obstacles?
May.
But we don't know. We simply, the Lord simply accepts those and he tolerates them, that's all. We don't know what the reason is. It could be some past karma surfacing, it could be this or that, due to some aparad, we don't know.